The scripture reading for today comes from Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, and chapter 18, verse 24. It reads, "A friend is loving at all times and becomes like family in times of trouble. Friends come and friends go, but a true friend sticks by you like family." There ends the scripture reading. I want to begin this morning with a question. What is it that makes you indispensable? In reflecting on your life as a whole, what is it that makes you indispensable more than anything else? I suspect there are a number of places to which one's mind could race. You could be indispensable at work if there is a job you can do that no one else can do. Perhaps you're the only person who can run a particular computer program or perform a particular procedure or handle a particular client. You could also be indispensable to your family at home. You might have people who literally depend upon you for everything from basic bodily care to financial survival. You might additionally realize that, with all modesty, you are an indispensable member of this church. I often think about how our church could not function or function very well without the countless acts of voluntary service performed by our members. Such acts seem commonplace in the running of a church, but hopefully they're not taken for granted. In all these ways I just mentioned, many of us are no doubt indispensable. Yet there is another, perhaps more profound way in which I suspect each of us is indispensable. Robert Louis Stevenson once named it well when he said that so long as we are loved by others, so long as we are counted as a friend by others, we are indispensable. Friends are unique in their indispensability. While over the course of a relationship, friends may do many things for each other, the person truly regarded as a friend does not need to earn it by merit or special favors or because they're the only person who can do a particular task. As a friend, you are ultimately valued simply because of who you are. It's been said that friendship at its root isn't about how you treat someone. You likely treat your friends very well, but that's the product of something deeper. Friendship is ultimately a way of appreciating and respecting someone for their intrinsic worth. In this way, friendship cultivates the ground of unconditional love. It can be a kind of ordinary, everyday love that we might not typically see as sparkling or profound in the casual events of life. As Lord Byron once said, "Friendship is love without his wings." At the same time, poets have seen the grandness of friendship. Keats declared that love and friendship are the crown that rests upon humanity's forehead. Proverbs esteems the bonds of friendship as being as cherished as those of a close-knit family. True friends stick with you regardless of life's storms or famines. A friend is indeed indispensable. We can scarcely survive without our friends. Emerson named it well when he described friendship as a gift from God. I would say that friendship is not only an indispensable gift from God in our own personal lives, it's also an indispensable gift that God gives to the church. When new members talk about why they decide to join our church, there are two things that pop up the most. One is that they like what we stand for as an open and affirming church that's committed to social justice in the broader world. The other is the friendliness of our church. There is an authentic spirit of friendship here. I think both of these qualities are essential for our church. When it comes to forming community, humans are often attracted by like-mindedness. But what happens after that initial attraction? You discover not everyone is like-minded on every matter. This is when friendship becomes indispensable. It's the glue of the Holy Spirit that holds us together even when we disagree or have our differences. It's the ordinary, unconditional love that a church needs to not only survive, but to thrive. As our verses from Proverbs suggest, the friendship found in churches is also what becomes invaluable when hard times hit. The friends of a church suddenly become the hands and arms holding us up. The friends of a church suddenly become like family. The power of a good proverb is that it crystallizes and makes visible such truths. A Yoruba proverb declares, "A proverb is like a horse. When the truth is missing, we use a proverb to find it." As one commentator noted, it's when one is mounted on a horse that one gets a good view of what's on the ground. This morning, I want to invite you to mount yourself up a little higher. Get a perspective on what might otherwise seem ordinary. From this vantage point, I invite you to take a look around this sanctuary. See and appreciate the friends surrounding you. Friends who are like family. Friends you can count on. Amen.
Please stand as you are able to sing the hymn of response, "In the Midst of New Dimensions," found on page 391. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4. That this church has been blessed for the last 25 years with the talents and dedications of Virginia Dunbar. Her love for this church is evident in all she does. I'm proud to call her my friend. May our gratitude and friendship for Virginia inspire our giving today. We will now have our morning offering. You may be seated. join me for the prayer of dedication. Gracious God, let this offering be a sign of our gratitude for your love. May these contributions be used to further your ministries of compassion and concern. Let our faith and values be reflected in all that we do. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. Please remain standing as we sing the communion hymn, I Come With Joy, found on page 349. We will sing verses 1, 3, and 5.
When Jesus sat at tables and broke bread with tax collectors, lawyers, rich elites, and poor peasants, he proclaimed that God's gracious love and abiding presence knows no bounds. Through these occasions of sharing food, women and men experienced God and shared in God's kingdom. A kingdom where all are welcome, worthy, invited, lives are transformed and empowered. And the fruits of God's gentle justice bloom throughout all creation. All people, regardless of whether you are a member of this church or not, are invited to share in this sacred meal of celebration and be strengthened by the presence of God in this place. And now, friends, let us remember that night on which Jesus shared a final meal with his disciples. Before he was betrayed by his friends, he took the bread and broke it, saying, "This is the bread of new life. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, when the meal was over, Jesus took the cup and passed it among the disciples, saying, "This is the cup of God's mercy. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Gracious God, we now ask that you pour out your Spirit upon this bread and cup and upon each one of us, that by sharing in this banquet together, we might become one with you and one in Christ in ministry to all the world. Amen. To receive communion this morning, please come down the center aisle towards those serving. Take a piece of bread and dip it into the juice. You can return by the side aisles. Those who wish to remain seated may do so, and you can be served in the pew by a deacon. Gluten-free bread is available in the center of the tray. Will the deacons please come forward? Come, for all things are ready. sure.